Steve, thanks. It's Bill and Wendy.
I made you wait till the music kicked in.
That's right. The timing had to be exactly perfect. Alexander Zalbin is here, but can I just quickly address a text or two? We were just talking about The Wizard of Oz and the scene where the soldiers are marching and they're chanting something and we're
Olio,
trying to figure out.
Olio, yeah. Or whatever.
The guesses are all over the board. Everybody has a different version of what those soldiers in The Wizard of Oz are chanting. Here's my favorite one from 630. The soldiers are singing about their favorite product placement, Oreo. Oreo. I'm not positive that's right, but it makes some sense. Also, so many guesses for Buddy Ebsen, but one guess for Buddy Hackett, the original
he would have been the Tin Man. But
right.
The makeup bugged
that would have
him.
Been fun. Yeah, he was allergic to the makeup. Alexander Zalbin is here. He's the managing editor of Decider.com. He comes on with us on Friday, and we talk about show business and television. Nice to talk to you, Alexander. How are things? Everything good?
Everything's doing great. Very excited to hear all these guesses about The Wizard of Oz. I thought it was Oreo.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just into them.
It makes sense. Wendy and I were discussing this yesterday, but I would love your take on it. We both watched Aziz Ansari's special that's on Netflix called Aziz Ansari Right Now. We both applauded him for how honest he was during that special. It's a great stand-up special, but he also has some moments of just sheer honesty where he talks about his sexual scandal. Have you seen it already?
I haven't, but a couple of the folks in our office have, so we've been talking about it a little bit. And one of the great things about it was that he was very upfront right at the beginning about everything that went on. And honesty has always been his thing. Like, you know, that's certainly a stand-up thing in general, but certainly Aziz very liberally pulls from his own life and talks about his own life. If anything, he talks about it upfront, and then it seems like the reaction, his feelings on that gets woven through absolutely everything else that happens in the special as well.
To me, it was one of the most amazing stand-up specials I've seen because it was super funny in parts, but it was so raw that I mean, about seeing your parents and being a better person and thinking things through. It was very thought-provoking for me.
Mm. Yeah, listen, there's a reason people like Master of None so much. There's a reason people like to stand up so much. He's a smart guy with some funny things to say. And whatever you think about what happened with that Babe.net article, that's not going to change.
Was there any outcome to that? Because I know it was a he said, she said kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And he said he personally discussed it with her and didn't really apologize, but almost said, you know, I'm kind of sorry this happened or sorry she felt that way. There was something brought up, but no real genuine I'm sorry. What was the outcome? Do you remember?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right about that. There's nothing really been publicly said about that necessarily, and it was such a weird situation, like we talked about last week, not to slander Babe Not Dead, RIP, that site isn't around anymore, but they didn't research it or back it up very well. It was very weirdly sourced from one person, and it created a huge uproar, but it was very murky in terms of what actually happened behind the scenes. So it's not the sort of thing that's going to end up in a court case or some sort of arrests like a lot of other things that have been going on. It's something that will be resolved or not behind the scenes.
I always wonder in a situation like this where you've got a guy who's in the news for something that's very, very unsavory. Does Netflix sit down with him and say, we're going to give you this special, but you got to address it because people are going to tune in and expect you to address it? Because Louis C.K., one of the criticisms on him when he went back to doing stand-up was there was no mention of his scandal whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And that's also a guy who dealt in not just comedy but reality.
I don't know. I don't think Netflix actually gets too much into that because their general MO is being as hands off with creators as possible,
yeah,
almost to a fault sometimes, frankly. But my guess is because this is directed by Spike Jonze, it was probably generated more from Aziz Ansari and Spike Jonze. Aziz Ansari has been touring for the entire year between this and putting together this show. So I'm sure once they had that package, they sat down with Netflix. I wouldn't be surprised if it came up in the meeting saying, are you going to address this in the special, and they said, yeah, absolutely, that's part of the act, and that was the end of the conversation.
When you see this, Alex, it's really interesting because he comes out and he talks about it pretty much immediately. He does some inside joke mm-hmm. about what's going on there in the room with the taping of the special, but then he talks about it kind of right out of the box, and it's not funny. It's not meant to be funny. He's very, very honest and truthful about it, and I did stand up for 10 years. I was thinking to myself, That's a very tough hole to dig yourself out of. It needed to be addressed. It was just mm-hmm. very interesting that right front and center, he talked about it and then rebounds and does the rest of the special. But it does, as Wendy pointed out, it's constantly brought back in the fact that it changed his perspective on a lot of things.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I really
loved
and it.
I think it's, I mean, you're right about the digging out the whole thing, but imagine if he hadn't addressed it up front. That would have been the elephant in the room the entire time, and every single thing he did up until he addressed it would have been colored by that. So putting it up front, putting it right there, absolutely the right
thing.
No
question. Alexander Zelbin's our guest from Decider.com. We'll talk about some television shows that are premiering very, very soon. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Bill Laughlin, it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Alexander Zelbin, who comes on with us every Friday, and we talk about show business, and we talk about television. Visit his website, Decider.com. It's a really, really good one. We've gotten more than one call, Alex, from people who say, I'm not exactly sure what this Netflix is that you guys are talking about. Now, usually I would make fun, but I have to be honest, I myself am behind the times in a lot of things, so it's very possible that nobody knows or somebody doesn't know what Netflix is. It's a service, it's a streaming service by which you can watch movies and TV shows. Am I leaving anything out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's about it.
No. That's it. It's a monthly subscription service. There's a ridiculous amount of content on there. It's a mix of original shows and legacy shows. They have sitcoms. They have movies. Everything you could watch for the rest of your life is all on Netflix.
Somebody just said the other day, I don't remember who told me this, that Netflix will be showing more new movies this upcoming year, 2019 into 2020, than the three top movie companies combined.
That was at our staff meeting
again.
They were
talking about it at our staff meeting.
And because I think, was it called like Flix.com where you could do mail order and then they changed it to Netflix because you could stream things on the internet?
Yeah.
So that's the history of Netflix.
Yep. Here's another text.
What crazy is the amount of content they're putting out. Sorry, go ahead.
And it's good.
This is a text. What is Coca-Cola? They
want to
know what
it.
That is. All right.
That's also a streaming service.
Coca-Cola streaming service. All right. Here's a bunch of shows. You tell us, because these are all new to us, Cities of of Last Things. What are Cities of Last Things?
I keep making that mistake as well. I keep wanting to call it Cities of Lost Things. It's a movie that debuted on Netflix, not Coca-Cola, yesterday, July 11th. It's a film from, I believe, China. And the weird thing about it is it's told in three parts in three different genres, and it goes backwards in time. So it's in Mandarin, so already, you know, a stumbling block for a lot of people. But then you got all this weirdness going on. However, our reviewer, Adamenta, who checked it out, really liked it a lot, thought it was really fascinating. It's the sort of thing you're definitely going to want to put your phone down for and really concentrate on.
Yeah.
But it's very different, very interesting, and that's on Netflix now if you want to check out something that takes a little more brain power than the usual film.
I've seen a device by which they'll show a storyline from different characters' perspectives, but I've never seen a show done in three genres before. That's very interesting to me.
Yeah, it should be. I haven't had a chance to check it out myself, but it sounds very fascinating, and also it's not a whole series like a lot of Netflix stuff, so you can check it out in a reasonable amount of time.
Cities of Last Things. All right, now let's switch over to Point Blank, also on Netflix. What's Point Blank?
So this is not Point Break. This is not Gross Point Blank. It's not even the original Point Blank movie that came out a couple of decades ago. This is a new action thriller, also on Netflix as of today. It stars Anthony Mackie and Frank Grillo, so it's sort of a Marvel movies reunion. They played Falcon and Crossbones, respectively. It's a very silly, very dumb action thriller. It's pretty much nonstop car chases and gunshots from top to finish. So it's basically the opposite of Cities of Last Things. Mm-hmm. But if you are looking for a dumb action thriller to turn your brain off to tonight, this is well worth checking out.
David Harbour, who we know from Stranger Things and from Hellboy, he was the last guy to play Hellboy, has a new project called Frankenstein's Monster's Monster.
Will he be topless again in it, or in a towel like he was in Stranger Things?
I don't know.
He's sadly not topless in this. This is one of the weirder things I've ever seen on Netflix, but given it's a half an hour, it's absolutely worth checking out. It's coming out on Tuesday on the service, and it's kind of a mockumentary about David Harbour investigating an old stage show played by his father put on, though he's playing his own father in this case, called Frankenstein's Monster's Monster Frankenstein. And it's very weird. It's a mix of, like, quote-unquote documentary footage. It's kind of making fun of Orson Welles a little bit, I think. But particularly if you're a fan of him from Stranger Things, it's him being ridiculous and over the top. And it's, again, a very easy, very quick binge. I highly recommend it.
I absolutely love him. There's something very good, appealing about him, even topless. All right, I'll give it to you. He reminds me of Jeff Garland's younger brother.
Oh.
He has a very similar look.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. I love him.
Interesting.
Yeah,
to
the
watch.
Special is basically just a showcase for him, and that's it, and that's fine.
The Emmy nominations will be announced on Tuesday, right? Is that right? Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. What can we expect?
Yeah, they're going to be Tuesday, 11:30 ET. So you can check them out. They'll be live streaming, I believe, on the Emmys website, YouTube, probably Twitter as well. So you can check them out there. This is going to be a very interesting year because a lot of shows are ending. Certainly you can expect Veep is probably going to clean up in terms of the nominations. But the big question in my mind going into this, and I think a lot of critics, is what's going to happen with Game of Thrones? Because if you had asked us at the beginning of the year, we'd say, well, of course, the last season of Game of Thrones, that's going to dominate absolutely everything. But the last 3 weeks of Game of Thrones in particular had very mixed negative reaction, both from fans and critics. So the question is going to be, how is that going to influence the Emmy voters? Are we going to see Game of Thrones end up getting snubbed in a lot of categories? Is it still going to get over-nominated in a lot of categories? And how will that affect all the glut of TV that's been on over the past year?
Big Bang Theory also closing out their mm-hmm. long run, so you would think they would get some nods. Is that a traditional thing? If a show has been on the air for a while and then they're closing up shop, they usually get a couple extra nominations, mm-hmm. would you say?
Yeah, you see something like that. I mean, listen, the Emmys have been in a state of flux for the past couple of years as they've been trying to respond to the changing state of TV. So anything is up in the air. But traditionally speaking, when you're talking about a sitcom that has been on the air as long and gotten as many viewers as Big Bang Theory, you would expect it to get a couple, I was about to say pity nominations. I think that's a little too rude, but nominations where, yes, this is, we're giving a tribute because it ended this run regardless of whether it's going to win or not. So I wouldn't be surprised to see it turn up in a few categories.
Alex, one more thing. We only have a minute, but this is a big deal when it comes to show business. The biggest comic book convention in the country, that's Comic-Con in San Diego, is happening this week. Usually there's a couple of big announcements made. Isn't that usually standard fare for them?
Yeah, this is going to be kicking off Wednesday, July 17th and running through that Sunday. So I expect we'll probably be talking about this quite a bit next week. But the big thing that's happening is Friday night down in San Diego is the Marvel Studios panel, where they're finally going to be announcing what their upcoming slate of movies is. And that's crazy when you think about it, because we've known for years what is going to be happening in the Marvel superhero movies. We know nothing at this point officially beyond the Spider-Man movie that's currently in theaters. So there's a lot of anticipation for that. And otherwise, TV is taking over the con. It's really flipped from film to TV. So if you have a favorite TV show, even a favorite non-nerdy TV show, there's a lot of procedurals and other things that are heading there. Tons of news is going to be coming out over the next week.
Are you attending, or somebody from your organization?
Decider.com.
We're not going to be on the ground there, but we are going to have actually a ton of coverage going on because, you know, when you're in entertainment journalism, you get a heads up about a bunch of things or prep for things. So certainly if you are looking for San Diego news, you can check Decider.com throughout that week.
That's Alexander Zalbin. He's the managing editor of Decider.com. That's a coincidence. Thanks, Alexander. We appreciate it. Have a good week.
Yeah, you guys too. Thanks so much.